Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Toby Stapleton. I'm the director of the UMass Dartmouth Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. I'm here with my co-host, author, attorney, and regular co-host for Radio Entrepreneurs, Peter Meyerson. Peter, welcome.
Thanks, Toby. It's great to be here. This is such a wonderful center, and the people we've had on the show so far today have been fabulous. I mean, it's really fascinating to hear all these stories of entrepreneurship down here.
Well, thanks,
and that's
Peter.
All attributable to you.
Well, thanks, Peter.
Well, and the center.
Yeah,
course,
and the center. Yeah, that. But you know, I appreciate that, especially coming from you, Peter, because I know, you know, as a regular co-host of Radio Entrepreneurs, you get to see a lot of companies, you know, along that entire spectrum of entrepreneurship. And
yeah, so, I can tune out really easily.
But it's great to have you down here. And one of those, when we talk about entrepreneurship on the South Coast, you can't talk about entrepreneurship on the South Coast or the Cape and Islands without talking about our next guest, Peter Carlson, the founder and president of Nuion, Peter Carlson. Peter, welcome to the show.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
Peter, tell us a little bit about, I want to talk about some of the things that you've been doing to encourage entrepreneurship. I know that you are active as, we talk a lot on Radio Entrepreneurs about the Southern New England Entrepreneurs Forum, which, that I say that you co-chair with me because, that's a volunteer organization that you've been involved with since the beginning. Yeah. But before we get to that, what's Nuion? What's your, what pays the bills?
Yeah, what pays the bills is a company I started about 2004 into five. I saw a need for essentially strategic advisory services. Originally, it was a small business technology advisory thing. So we were looking at companies were starting up, and they had no sort of head of technology, CTO, CIO type. And over the last 12 years, what we've done, we've actually morphed the business and expanded a lot into mid-market software companies and private equity firms. And so today, we're really a strategic advisor to private equity firms that are trying to buy companies, technology companies, and then the companies they buy and fund, those are the companies we're actually helping to be more high-performing organizations. So most of the folks who work at our firm are chief technology officers, chief information officers, chief information security officers, those types. And what we're doing is trying to make better software companies. And so as part of that, I actually do use some of this entrepreneurship stuff in my actual work. And so one of the things we do is continuous innovation. And we use a ton of techniques from the Lean Startup toolbox, which is things like the business model canvas, value proposition design, and then this real sort of customer discovery and validation. We use it ourselves. We eat our own dog food in that regard.
Yep.
And so that's actually driven a lot of the work that we've done in the last 5 years is looking at how we use these tools to make better companies.
Right. Yeah, I mean, with the lean methodology, the shine has not worn off on lean methodology for me.
Yep.
I'm still, anytime I hear a company that's, sort of doing things the old-fashioned way, not looking to build a minimally viable product and things like that, it's just amazing to me because a lot has changed around the world of entrepreneurship. And and you're at the epicenter of that, certainly in the region, but I don't mean just here on the South Coast.
Yep.
You're active down on Cape Cod and the islands. You're active with this Blue Economy Group got started. What is that?
The Blue Economy Project was looking at the region, actually looking all the way from, say, Provincetown all the way to the Rhode Island border, and including the South Coast and Plymouth, and with what the region has today, because what has worked over the last 100 years. Has been good, especially on the Cape and Islands. They went through this agricultural economy and then a tourism economy, and now they're actually looking for the next thing. And the Blue Economy Project was born out of that search for what could drive economic development. And the bottom line is The Cape and Islands and the South Coast has a plethora and of resources for blue economy. So blue economy is anything that basically touches the water. It could be in the water, on the water, related to the water. It could be services.
Under the water.
Under
right.
the water, which especially with our friends at Woods Hole Oceanographic, there are no shortage of things that touch the water and businesses that are created around that those elements of the blue economy.
So you're not only an entrepreneur, but you are as sort of a facilitator of that entrepreneurial ecosystem.
Yeah.
And now we can add professor to your list of credentials.
Yes.
This semester, you taught a international entrepreneurship class at UMass Dartmouth.
Yep.
And can you tell us a little bit about that?
So using the same principles of evidence-based entrepreneurship, which is a lot of the Lean Startup principles. We took a class, essentially what we did was over a 14-week period, we explored their ideas. So they had to pitch an idea. They had to... the students. So
okay.
We had a mix of graduate students, undergraduate students. They pitched ideas, and they had to form teams around those ideas. And then throughout the 14-week process, they had to build out their business model, essentially. And we're not starting companies, we're validating business models. And so the whole difference between the way entrepreneurship education has been taught in the last 50 years is, you write a business plan and you go out and you schlep it around and try to get it funded. We take a totally opposite approach. We say we make a business model, we think of a concept and we build a business model around it. And we were really fortunate because right in the middle of the class, we were at week 7, and we were just done with the right-hand side of the business model canvas, which is all the customer-facing stuff, the value proposition and things like that. We had the opportunity, and thanks to Toby's hard work, we got the opportunity to go to the Azores and bring the 14 students to the Azorean Startup Weekend. And Startup Weekend is kind of the epicenter of this kind of model of evidence-based entrepreneurship. And so the students got to pitch new ideas. So the rule was they couldn't work, they would be cheating if they basically took their ideas they've been working on for 7 weeks and then pitched those things because they were pretty well-formed. So they had to pitch new ideas based on what they saw in the Azores and opportunities they saw. It was fantastic. I mean, they talk about hands-on learning. So they got to tour, tea plantations, printing factories, all kinds of different things that are relevant to and innovation centers. The sister organization for the CIE here in the South Coast, we get to hang out in the innovation centers there, which is fantastic. The Azorean government, incredibly generous. They essentially treated us to 10 days of tours, everything pretty much packaged for us. So we spent 10 days on the ground there. So it was fantastic.
That's great. And so for those listeners, southeastern Massachusetts has a close affinity with the Azores. We have a large immigrant population from the Azores over the years, and including Rhode Island. And so that was your first trip to the Azores.
Yes.
And what was what was your biggest takeaway from that trip?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway was how similar the drive for entrepreneurship was there. And they have resources. They've got a drive for entrepreneurship, and they've got a lot of federal funding that actually is pushing them in that direction. However, we saw tons and tons of entrepreneurs that were trying to solve real world problems with the things that they were facing.
Even outside of the blue economy.
Absolutely, yeah. So there was they're a huge agricultural producer.
Right.
One of our students actually came up with a concept that she pitched. It wasn't selected to go forward. However, she saw a need to export some of the agricultural techniques with the way they do dairy farming there. And she said, wow, that's a really interesting thing. Could we export this technology to third world countries? That's an interesting way of helping developing nations. Because the whole idea was if they had better production of cows, that could lead to other economic development initiatives. So that was I thought it was a great idea. I'm hoping she's going to pursue it at some point in the future because I think it held water. But they had some blue economy stuff as well. I mean, they have an amazing fishing population there. They've got a great research university there. They've tons of, they have a seismic center. They've got amazing stuff that's all around. It's a volcanic island chain, so you have no shortage of interesting things to study because you get new formations all the time, and it's interesting. But again, they have to. They're an island or a chain of islands. You know, 9 of them, and so they had to. They have to make their own destiny in a lot of ways, and that's what the heart of entrepreneurship is, kind of making something out of nothing, which that's the part I love about it. I mean, it's just you come up with an idea and then you build something around that. So yeah, that's my biggest takeaway, was that there was a great spirit of entrepreneurship there.
So Peter, and you're involved. You've been a facilitator. Mm-hmm. In this case, yep. You were actually the professor who took a group of students to participate in a startup weekend. But yep. You've facilitated startup weekends yep. in Canada and other places. Yep. You are involved with European companies who are looking yep. to either do business in the U.S. or U.S. companies doing business in Europe. You know, when you look at this region, the South Coast and the Cape and Islands, what are some of the assets when it comes to entrepreneurship?
Well, I mean, we have a rich manufacturing tradition, you know. So and not only, we're not talking steel mills here. We're talking, precision manufacturing, right? So making things with our hands, making things with precision machines, we can leverage that talent, workforce, facilities. I mean, the building that we're sitting in is a reincarnation of a factory, right?
Right.
And so you think about what this place looked like 100 years ago, and a lot of brick buildings up and down 195
right.
In the South Coast. We've got people, we've got facilities, we've got access to deep water ports.
Right.
All of these assets, these are the things that you look at and say, there's something here, and we can build something on this.
Right.
On the Cape, we have the Woods Hole Oceanographic. We've got tremendous spin-outs of Woods Hole. So those businesses, there's a whole cadre of companies along 28 and 28A that have been born out of the technologies in Woods Hole Oceanographic. And we can build on those things. So
right.
So there's no shortage of assets. And I firmly believe in the whole Steve Case's argument about the rise of the rest. You know, there will be other entrepreneurship centers created. There are today, and there will be more, not just in Boston and Silicon Valley.
Right.
And Southeastern Mass and the Cape is definitely not Boston. We are close enough to that ecosystem that we have some advantages.
Right.
However, if you look at the big picture, you know, we're not those regions. And yeah, it can take time to get to those regions. And the people that are in the Boston area, they're not coming down to the South Coast as much as you'd think they would. So we have to make our own.
Right.
Our own destiny.
But I agree with that wholeheartedly. But I also think it's how you define entrepreneurship. Because if you think of the Boston, Cambridge, Kendall Square, Silicon Valley ecosystems,
yes.
you're talking heavy software, heavy
yep.
apps. And
yep.
And I think you're right on that. One of the assets that we have here is a tradition of manufacturing
yes.
and building things, and especially with a resurgence of, now manufacturing has become popular
it's
again. It's cool again, right. Yeah,
look at makers. The maker
right.
movement,
right?
That's making stuff, right? And the rise of 3D printers, the ease of building out, kits, robotics kits,
right.
Right?
That
kind of stuff is, 10 years ago, you really had to go through some serious
right.
effort to build out your homegrown robotics
right.
and stuff. Now you could literally buy a kit online. And,
that's right.
And you'll have it the next day, and
yep.
you'll start playing with it. And I think the combination. I think it's also easier. The combination of hardware and software is also very, is a lot easier, a lot more approachable.
Right.
I look at things like the Raspberry Pis and the kits that are built on top of those. That's actually very, very approachable for most people that have a technical background. They say, I can do
right.
that.
Right.
They jump right in. And so, I'm never going to say there's, I'm a software guy by trade. So I'm definitely one of those people that I always look at kind of through a software lens. But I do appreciate the fact that there are other things out there.
Right. Right.
And manufacturing is a big one.
No, but yeah, but that's absolutely right. And you think about the innovations that have changed over the last 10 years alone, but 20 years, 30 years,
oh, yeah.
and how difficult it was to build a physical product that has software tie-in,
oh,
or
right, right.
These are off-the-shelf solutions, and the entrepreneur's job today is more putting that together in an innovative way.
In an innovative way, right? Exactly. The fact that the tools are there, I think what that gives you is back to what you said earlier about minimally viable products. I mean, you can build an MVP in a pretty short amount of time with these available technologies.
Right.
Whereas, 20 years ago, you literally had to do some serious cobbling to build stuff.
Well,
right.
it's certainly easier to do it, but, I'm not sure I agree. I mean, I think in today's world, and even for the last 30 years, people would say to me, what do I do? You know, I represent a manufacturer. The answer is I haven't represented manufacturers since, I don't know, 1975. I mean, everything is software.
Right.
I mean, so, you know, it's interesting that the center is built around manufacturing.
Right.
But there is no such thing as a product without software.
Right, right.
That's, I mean,
right,
in today's world.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's...
There is, I mean, there's, you know, and if you look at even your services companies, there's always an online presence, right? So,
always.
So I mean, there is a software, technically there's software components to that too. But, you know, we also, Toby and I also work with a group called Entrepreneurship for All, which has been fantastic here on the South Coast. Those are really not a lot of software companies. I mean, there are some in the cohorts. They've got three or four cohorts now. But most of them are, you know, tangible goods. They're making things, and it could be, you know, it could be making restaurants, or it could be making, you know, a set of services around a certain problem. So there are definitely, I agree with you. The, you know, and I look at it as like everything's a software problem, but there's a way to fix it. So.
Well, good. Yeah. This has been fascinating, and definitely, Peter, we appreciate getting some insight about what's going on the South Coast and the insights. I do think, you know, manufacturing is a good place for us to
Absolutely.
Be as an incubator. But to Peter's point, yeah, I mean, software. Product development today is more holistic than it's ever been.
That's the way to look at it.
That's a great way to say it.
Yeah. Product development is actually you're building products, and yes, are there physical components? Yes. Are there software components? Yes. But good product development. That's what we're striving for.
That's great. And we've been talking to Peter Carlson, the founder of Nuion, and an advocate for the entrepreneurship and startup community here on the South Coast and the Cape and Islands, along with my co-host, Peter Meyerson.
Yeah, it's been great, Toby. Great seeing you again, Peter.
Good seeing you, Peter.
This has been a great show, as you've been doing very well. It's a great topic. So this is Peter Meyerson with Toby Stapleton at the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship at UMass Dartmouth. And this is Radio Entrepreneurs, and we'll be back after the next message.